Good afternoon, Australia. Good evening, America, and welcome to everyone across the planet. This is Insight Intelligence with Mario Beckers, and Mario is actually in Dublin. But before I ask him a bit about why he's in Dublin, here's what you need to know. Sorry. Dubai. We were just talking about Dublin. Oh my goodness. Sorry, everyone. Seriousness, if you're listening on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch or Twitter, don't forget that Hannah is ready, waiting and listening to provide you with the connection, comments and the links to anything we talk about today. And as we do each and every week, we need to acknowledge the important part that our Indigenous ancestors have played in the development of Australia. And I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, and pay my respects to the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and all past and present Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Now, just a reminder that this is a show series, and we have been talking extensively about intelligence and how that works in the public and private sector. Now, if you want to catch up on any of the shows that you've missed, and we've captured some amazing content and amazing conversations from surveillance to forensic investigation and anything in between. And this is the seventh show with Mr. Mario Beckers, the CEO and owner of Insight Intelligence. Now, Mario, you might remember, grew up in communist Croatia. And today we talk to Mario from Dubai on the return from his trip to Europe. Now, Mario, I'm welcome back to the show. It seems like forever since we've had a chance to spend time together. Missed talking to you. I love these shows. I love the wisdom and knowledge that you freely share with our audience. But I'd really love to know if you can share with us where you've been and what you've been doing in the last 10 days. A bit of a whirlwind tour for you.
Yes. Well, Tony, thank you very much. I'd like to say thank you to all listeners and the viewers for this great show. As Tony says, feel free to visit her YouTube channel. There's all episodes, not just about me, but all other entrepreneurs as well who share their wisdom and the tips. I'd like to say as well, thank you to your crew, TJ, and everybody else who is now supporting this transmission. And as well, I'd like to say good morning from Dubai to everybody. I left Australia on the 9th. Today it's, I think, 18th or whatever it is. It's like, looks like. I just need to check. It's a 20th. I apologize, 20th. So I left Australia on the 9th, and I have feeling I'm away from Sydney for at least a month. I don't know why. Germany was a truly good for several reasons. Number one, it's flying out of Australia was an adventure, right? Because you're requiring all these documents and everything else. But then as well, meeting other people in Eastern Europe, that was my first stop. So I went there to meet my clients and deliver the new program as well, required for the new, as we know, the world is changing and everything changing around us. It's becoming difficult to grasp what's the next things going to happen across the globe, and everybody want to capture the essence of information. Then I'm back in Dubai to deliver the training here last couple of days, and this is a really, really something unique. You know, come from the rainy, cold Australia, suddenly coming to the hot spring. Very, very, it's very warm.
Yes.
And then, this Sunday I'm going to Singapore to see clients there, and then Manila and back to Sydney on 30th, which again, it's 21 days around the globe, literally around the globe. But it is beautiful to see how the people live post-COVID. We can see that the economy is moving forward. Everybody wants to do the business. Tourism, I can't say nothing because, you know, I'm everywhere I go, I feel like a tourist, but we can see the world is changing, and everybody wants to do the business. Everybody wants to new avenues to open, to explore. There's new technologies, there's new ways of the, how to deal in a business. And of course, there's the biggest need, that that's what it is, certainty in business. Everybody wants to looking for the partners to be certain they're going to continue. So yeah, it's a very challenging, but it's a beautiful to be in Dubai. So thank you, Tony, for asking.
Mario, I'm just curious before we get on with the show about the atmosphere and the feeling in Europe at the moment. We all know that the war in Ukraine is continuing, and I'm just, it's possibly hard to reflect, but from your short stay there, how are people feeling? Like, is this causing, we know that it's causing shortages and difficulty for people and business. What was your sense, Mario?
General feeling of the populace, of the citizens across the Europe, it is that the war against Russia and Ukraine is something which is shaking to the core everybody. It's a third month. And we can see, like, you know, we can see that it's a lot of effort being done by European Union and the countries, particularly those neighboring with the Ukraine, to support Ukraine fight for the democracy and against oppression and Russian invasion. Mm-hmm. But that being said, as well, I noticed that, and everybody was the mood amongst people are changing. Maybe it's not directly connected with Ukraine.
Yeah,
but inflation, and it's huge. It's cost of living. It's increased rapidly.
Yeah.
So people are literally having the difficulties to understand, you know, how they're gonna wait for the winter. In terms of, you can see tourism. There is no big destinations announced, and there's no traveling overseas. There's a lot of uncertainty. Yeah. There is a lot of money shortage, basically, right? That's what it is, money shortage. So like a COVID is like disappeared, right?
Yes.
It's about COVID disappeared. But as I said, like, it is the general feeling, it's like the life become very expensive, very, very expensive.
So and it's not just us in Australia experiencing that whole cost of living. It's actually the globe that's kind of suffering.
Yeah, and like particularly now in Dubai, it's a different cup of tea. Mm-hmm. They're doing everything to attract people. They're doing everything to open to society, to the world. The world comes to them. I recently just even wrote an article because I was having discussion last week when I was in Dubai before I headed to Europe. I had a meeting with one of the very, very big businessmen here, and they explained to me how they dealt with the pandemic and post pandemic, and why they open, and why Expo was very important for them, even didn't create a lot of money as expected. Mm. So they're still pushing this forward to be open society. But Tony, speaking in general, I can see the shortages everywhere, particularly in items, food items.
Yeah.
You can see that there is a shortage. So.
It's a bit sad, isn't it? I was curious when I knew you were traveling to see what your, as we said, I'll be traveling soon, and I was just curious to see what was going on in the world. So that said, the reason why you're traveling at the moment is to deliver some of your world-class courses and training.
That's
and
right,
our talk this week is about the Insight Intelligence Institute and the courses and training they offer. And I know that you're really proud of this institute, and rightly so, because you deliver some of the best courses around within the intelligent realm. And the first of those that we want to talk about today is strategic interviewing. And I wanted to talk about the importance of understanding and having education around strategic interviewing tactics and deception detection, because that's going to become more and more important, isn't it?
Indeed. Look, overall, we are all witnessing a select, you know, the world is shifting. And with the world shifting, the discipline as an investigation or in type of interrogation becomes very, very important, right? Interrogation for government sector, investigation for corporate sector. And we must understand, you know, people love to throw these words, strategic, tactical, operational. So I just, for the illustration, I just like to explain in terms of business. If we look in the tactical is something which is a short term, something yes. which is required a less investment, less force, and less manpower to reach these details. So in those terms, I'll say like we're working on our local market. Operational intelligence and investigations, it's a different as well from tactical and strategic. It's a newer discipline. It's something the modern society invented, the bridge between tactical and operational. Mm-hmm. And like if you look in this, this is like a you have the local battle tactical, then you have the, you know, the interstate, you know, like in Australia, it's operational, which is quite, again, more investment, more manpower, and more long-lasting preparations, which cost as well. Then you have strategic. Yes. Strategic, it's always behind horizon. And that requires what's going to be if it's happened something, right? It's required a pre-mortem analysis, which basically requires to capture information now, and you're looking at historical data and now information to try to do decision making for the future, for the decision key makers. And that's yes. become very, very difficult, particularly in the COVID we saw because of the lockdowns. And so
yeah.
when you look in the all these three disciplines, it's going from the minimum cost to the medium cost to the high cost. Same goes in investigations. Tactical intelligence as well applies for your local market, your state market. Then you have this operational intelligence, which like in Australia can cover our entire Australia as a state. Then you have strategic intelligence, which require that you are bringing your company into the world market on a notice, you know, when you make a decision.
Yes.
6 months time, I'm going to come to Dubai. What's going to happen in 6 months' time in Dubai? And that's where we are an institute running these courses to understand how to utilize information on a tactical, operational, and strategic level. So decision-making yes. be done most appropriately. And intelligence, you know, people talk about intelligence, they're talking about espionage. Espionage is one form of
yes. human
intelligence. But intelligence, gathering intelligence, it's a 24/7 job. For every company to capture information which is relating to their decision, key decision making, and
yes.
I can't say who's doing the key decision making any company, but as long as they have the structure, they have the goal, key objective, which is most important, was a key objective in corporations, and based on that key objective, tailoring approaches in tactical, operational, and strategic intelligence.
Fantastic. Mario, bearing in mind that difference that we've just talked about between strategic and tactical, I want to talk a little bit about interrogation versus questioning, because they're quite different, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Look, there's the questioning interrogation you can put in one bag, because this is usually they have the negative connotations. Interrogations
yeah.
is being done more or less by government sector, and interrogation allows the different methods in questioning somebody.
Mm.
While in corporate world, you cannot do this. You need to do all hands on deck,
yes.
utilizing every possible avenue, because we must understand. Police or any intelligence agency, they have the different ways of collecting the information, facts, evidence, and anything else. While in corporate world, it's a streamline. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a more, how to say it?
There's a process.
Work. Yeah, volunteering work, which is satisfying all the framework, legal framework of any state in Australia or across the globe, particularly in the US or England, which
yes.
is heavily regulated bodies. So when you have the interrogations, people have the you know, the old fashionable, you know, I mean, the phone book, you know, I mean, and the light.
Yes,
and the best
yes,
thing.
Yes.
I don't say
yes.
I don't say this has not been done in the past. I don't say, you know, like, When I was
But we
watching
hope it doesn't happen too much today. Obviously, it's gonna, isn't it, Mario? Like, there's not really, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, look, and in like when you come to the stage, in corporate investigations, when you're questioning somebody, it is very important to have awesome preparations. A part of operational work, of investigative work, right? What you're gonna collect, what evidence you have, what facts you collect, supported, and everything else. It is the same preparation for interviewing. And it's a lot of psychology behind this. While in
Yes.
police, or let's just say intelligence agencies, interrogation, particularly one of the methods, it's called a read, which FBI developed in 80s. And it's basically they question you not actively, but I'll say more proactively, they're pushing you into admission, right? Where they have
Yeah.
the we have team of people, they're inside, even psychologists, who playing and capturing, and in essence, I when we talk about that, people can Google it, read, READ. But the thing is, it's a technique that's been coached, and they're putting people into submission, voluntarily to submission that they don't know. And that's
Yeah.
interrogation. So it's sitting in one room, and of course, you
Yes.
represent them with all evidence. And in corporate world, you cannot do this.
Yes.
It is more psychological preparation for the interviewing rather than utilizing any methods, invasive methods, right, or more active methods. Because when you have the client who you're interviewing or the personal interest in corporate world, climate, you need to prepare the interviewing scene. And that's what we're coaching there, because when you have somebody do claims investigation, and you can't utilize interrogative methods, you need to apply questioning methods, which is basically based on a variety type of questions. You have open questions, closed questions, leading questions, finally questions, and everything else. And then, but it's like a scene, it's a very most important thing, because it try to make a person as comfortable as possible, but as well aware that this is the investigation, and whatever they say is going to go in report. And that is very important to when we're coaching the some of the of our clients. Interrogations, it's something where you're applying the active pressure on somebody by utilizing positive and negative aspects of what's it calling of environment. Because was a positive environment in corporate investigation, you interview somebody in the office.
Yes.
When the interrogation, you're
It's
going either in
somewhere
police, okay?
nasty.
No, don't tell it not today, but you're going to places where you don't feel comfortable, where you feel isolated.
Yeah.
And of course, you must take into consideration that it's very important to understand when the government is doing investigation, they're doing everything to the point when they call you in. And when they call you in, they know
Very
how to apply
different.
that I'll call the wealth abundance of information they have, generally speaking,
Yeah.
to conclude the case. And sometimes that does involve, I give example, Tony.
Yes,
Interrogation
please.
necessarily doesn't need to mean to be the phone book, even that's in the movies depicted very well.
Yeah.
But I do remember when I started my career, I had the great professors, and they will leave the person in the interrogation room for, let's say, 6, 7, 10 hours. I'm not sure what the legal frame it is in Australia or across the globe, every country, how long you can leave
Leave the
somebody.
person in a room. Yeah.
Yeah, so. But I remember my professor will come with some sandwich and the drink, you know what I mean? And then he's like,
Yeah.
he was eating. I was like, why will he eat in front of the accused person? I mean, he's a suspect. And the person
Yeah.
was like, he'll be hungry. He doesn't work 100%. Like, one in five will work. And then we're like, he said, you want a sandwich? And then he started having that conversation. The person was so
Yes.
hungry, so thirsty that he will open. So depriving them of those things. And as the Guantanamo Bay was one of the great examples of
Yes.
the wrong interrogations. That was something which was like, you know, was going beyond anybody's wild imagination. But you know, that was a tough interrogations. We don't train because that's not something you won't apply, because people under pressure, under deprivation of the day senses, you know, they will have the reasons to admit, just to
Yeah,
avoid. Yeah,
it
please.
brings up that this is fresh in my mind because I've just watched a documentary around wrongful conviction based on a coerced confession, and it sort of I have to say that I'm thinking, oh, Mario would understand why this works. And it is around that deprivation of liberty, coercive questioning, causing that person to think the only way that I'm going to get out of this horrible little womb is if I confess to something, whether it's true or not. And at that point in time, they're not actually considering the bigger picture. They just want to get out of the room.
That's correct, Tony. Look, in communism, that was the one thing, and I was educating communism. That was the one thing. It was submission to till admission, and it was a lot of involved unethical ways of questioning people. In corporate world, you cannot do this. Everybody in corporate world understands that we are just the businesses and we are not the governments. Governments working in two levels: protect from external enemies, internal enemies, crime and everything else, which is against national security. So there's a multi-layer cake government ones. Corporations, they want to protect themselves internally, externally, against fraud, crime,
Definitely.
criminal activities, and potential activities of their competitors. And there is the biggest decision every corporation needs to make. It's how to protect their own interests and how to actually protect their own information. But it's not necessary that it's going to happen. That's the reason why they called us, either to investigate or to protect that information. I like to you say deception. People talk about deception like it's a game. It's not a game. It's a cat and mouse game. So I will just so like deception is hiding the true intent of your own actions. And deception requires two more elements. One thing it is that you speak the truth 90%, which a person does. So I'll give you an example. Von Bismarck in 1850 was a young parliamentarian in Germany, and he wanted to wage the war. He comes from a Prussian family. It's a true story, of course. It's an event being elaborated so very well. And he wanted to wage the war because he'd been humiliated by Austrian army and the country being divided and everything else. And on a night of the eve day in the parliament, he gave a different speech. He gave the speech that he wants to peace, he wants to prosperity of the Prussian people and country and everything else. But everybody expected from him to deliver the speech to war, because everybody's ready for the war. But what he realized, that Prussia is not ready for the war, they stayed behind. So like he understood that the Prussian aristocracy and the military and the state, they are so much backwards against go against the modern enemy. So you compare this with the corporations. So what he delivered a speech, and the king, he didn't believe him, but what he asked him, if you want a peace, you know, I'm gonna beat the minister of defense. Anyway, needless to say, several years later, Bismarck becomes one of the most recognized statements, and he's the one who applied deception so well. He deceived everybody in Prussian parliament, deceived the king, who didn't believe him. But at the end, he took the time to wage the war against Austria, and then he became a dominant power, like the unification of Germany, everything else. Second, so you hide your intent, you talk the truth. You know what I mean? You want the prosperity. He was talking prosperity. He was talking about being abandoned country, that you know they had no army to wage the war, which was true. But 10% of his intent has been hidden, because he knew he needs the time to launch his quest. He needs to become much more powerful. So anyway, second one, it's a smoke screen. and a small screen, it's usually being delivered in a different manner. So deception is a very dangerous game, and this is goal in the world of intelligence. Deception is not leave to be investigated. It needs to be analyzed, and it requires several professionals around me to deliver this, to recognize what deception it is. And only deception you can recognize it is that you analyzing historical data, current data, and then doing this, what I say, pre-mortem analysis of the person, of the event, and what informations you can utilize and how to find these informations. And again, Tony, you know, you and I, we're just the business people. We're not the governments.
Yes.
Even when I was looking at government, I didn't know where this information is coming from. There's no necessity. In corporations, you already know the structure. You know, this guy does this, this lady does this. In government, you don't know where the information is coming from. And they've been just forwarded to the to required designated area, right? I'll call it. So like, you know, intelligence services will deliver to police and vice versa.
Yes.
In corporations, it's very important to understand what is your key objective. When you have the key objective, you need to have the intelligence. What is intelligence? Is it going to be tactical, operational, strategic intelligence? Then it's next element it is to prepare the ratio of your commitment in is a manpower, is a money, or it's tools, what you're going to commit to reach your key objective. Fourth element it is the time and date of the execution of your idea. So it's going to be tactical level, it's going to be quick something, it's going to be operational midterm, or the strategic on a long run beyond horizon. So it's very, what does it say? While you're planning your some things, most of corporations, particularly US companies, they're using deceptive methods, very deceptive methods. You know, speaking 90% of truth or 10% true intent is being hidden. And a lot of people like to say, I know how to despot. Even I don't know everything, Tony. Like, takes the time, takes the event, takes the trigger to you understand what is going on. And that's what we're teaching the people. Sometimes deception, it is the losing the war. And the fifth most important element, it is a timetable. Timetable delivering your key objective to reach your key objectives. So that's what we're teaching people. That's what we're teaching companies. That plan, you know, I mean, what is your key objective? What is your intelligence? You know, I mean, how do you want to ratio manpower, techniques, and everything else? And go down to the list. And then you're practicing this till the perfection. That your team already knows and they spot something anomalous by collecting the data information from the market, that you can place yourself on the market and reply or response to your competitor. When it comes to investigations, it's the same process, but as well, you know, you need to understand what intelligence you're going to utilize, how to collect, how to analyze, how to disseminate and present. That's the very important part.
Mario, one of the other courses that Insight Intelligence Institute is famous for is around surveillance. And when I was looking at this course in particular, I saw that it distinguished between a few elements of surveillance, that being urban. So we've already talked about, you know, the tactical surveillance before, but the bit that I found interesting was the difference between urban area surveillance and rural area surveillance. Can you tell the audience about that?
Absolutely, Tony. Look, we don't do respect with everybody. We investigate through surveillance. Not every person lives in the city.
That's right.
In city, it's easier to blend. In city, it's easy to blend. You know, it's a variety of the people. And surveillance operators are very skilled in this. They already know themselves. If you know yourselves, as Sun Tzu says in his book, Art of War, and you know enemy, no question asked, you're going to win. But in rural, surveillance is different because there's not many investigators to be engaging in rural areas. And preparation needs to be to the smallest details. It's a preparation. It's a matter of victories. So Sometimes we have surveillances in areas where it's like no more than 500 people, and you can understand like when somebody comes, pop in and you want to stay around, are people noticing this?
Yes.
So there's a different elements and technologies we're utilizing when it comes to the rural area, and the people, as I say, as I mentioned earlier, in urban area it's easier to hide and people are behaving differently. When you're in rural area,
Yes.
people are more community orientated. Maybe they
And
hate
they
each other, maybe we hate
notice.
each other. Yeah, exactly. But if I know that somebody's coming against you, like we're gonna take the our forks and knives and chase that person,
Yeah.
so rural surveillance requires a different set of skills. It requires a lot of planning and a lot of precise work, because there's not much place to hide. There's not many places to infiltrate or to position yourself in a way as you can do in a city, so you can commit surveillance. So this is something what we train. It's a camouflaging. That's a number one. It's a lot of waiting. It's a lot of waiting in areas which we usually don't doing.
Stay awake. Like
Well,
that's
it's
always perplexed me. If you've got a person of interest under surveillance, you've effectively got to watch them 24/7. Obviously, you can sleep when they sleep, but there's still a long period of time that you've got to keep them under surveillance. And I'm
Yeah, but
like,
that's yeah. So that's what I said. Preparations is a matter of
Yes.
victories, and
Yes.
you can't expect that some of my investors gonna be awake like 7 days, right? That doesn't work.
Yes.
So it's playing for 24 to 72 hours mostly, and as I say, behavior of somebody in smaller places, 500 people, 5,000 people, cities or small cities or. It's a community, very it's community-based environment, and people are very aware of any new faces. That's number one. Secondly, when you are working in rural area, it's a communication. It's one of the biggest problems, communication between us, the
Yeah.
investigator, distance, technical issues, and everything else. So this is the key areas we're focusing in our preparations. How we're gonna meet safety requirements for our investigator to conduct a job. Like I was in military, you must do everything and have the backup of the backup that that operations are going to run smoothly. Secondly, there is no po local police stations in small cities, right? So you can't go there and inform them that you're going to do surveillance. So you need to be very careful
Yeah.
what you're doing. So so planning is one aspect of our education. Why would you do in rural area? How to analyze rural area. You need to look at understand what's happening at rural area. So it's not just you go take a surveillance. You must analyze the place, the people, surrounding areas, geospatial positioning. You know what I mean? How you gonna be there?
Yeah.
How long? What do you need? Almost a supplements.
Yeah.
Water, food, and all these things. So, and then it's come to technology. Technology is not the same like in urban area, where we have the people, our operatives, just wearing the glasses with the camera, carrying with the camera, mobile phone,
I was
and all these
gonna
things.
ask you that, Mario, and I'm sorry I didn't put this in our preparation notes, but
Okay.
when I was thinking about it this morning, I'm thinking, and what about drones in surveillance? You see the pictures of the tiny little mosquito-sized drones and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How true is that? And how much does technology play in helping with surveillance?
That's a good question, Tony. I truly believe that now technology does exist. We can't deny this, but it's
Yes.
not available for the public.
Everyday people. I figured.
You and I, we can't get that little fly and go
I
somewhere.
I can
But
only think of
that,
fun things to do with that, but
yeah.
I can obviously see the potential for wrongdoing and evil with some of those things, but I'm assuming that eventually that they will make detection of fraud and crime a lot easier.
Yes, And that's the reason why our institute, it's fit at all. Knowledge is to be shared. Knowledge is to be utilized. There's a new emerging technologies. There's new emerging type of criminal activities coming across.
Yes, that's the next thing, isn't it?
Yes. So we must understand that always in our conversation say this one thing. Regardless how much I learn in my past and even today about human intelligence or investigations, it's an ongoing education.
Yeah.
Because the criminals, they're very skilled in creating in their imagination the tools. So they know what, so police has like a blanket solution, right? And intelligence and everything else. But criminals, they know what they're going to do. This morning, I opened my email and somebody really asked me, like, my details in England, I'm going to get £10 million, right?
Now, oh, yeah.
That's, you know, that's a millions of emails like this. But career criminals, they're utilizing their imagination to create and develop systems and the tools for the next job. Now, if we have the fly like this, maybe some government organization do have, don't have, you don't have. In rural area, you can't do this. We always stipulate this back. We must work in a framework of acts and
laws and legislation.
Mm-hmm. Police, they can fly the drone. My company cannot fly the drone.
Fair enough.
But preparations, and as I said, and as again, when you say the flies, I have the clients who are worrying about those things. And I say, like, you're worrying about flies while...
You've got employees that might be defrauding you in a, you know...
That's correct. So, like, you know, there's technologies that Tony certainly, which we ordinary people have no access. But I'm certainly convinced that mass surveillance is being conducted on all of us. You know, like, you know, I can see in Dubai, even in Dubai, like, you have the cameras on every corner, right? I'm like, you notice them if you look at them. And Tony, just think about when you talk about drones, how often when you walk in the streets, just look at people, observe the people. People, when they walk, have a tendency to look down from their mobile phone or their face. But try to see something, just observe all our listeners, all of US, and this is where we are educating people. How often we lift our head up and look at that.
And look up. No.
On the roofs, nothing. And that's where the things are happening, right? And now I give you some hints, right? So people generally looking around themselves, right? Instead of
looking up.
Going neck up. And above, and then you can notice things are changing. You can see, you know, the sky, the trees, the roofs, but you can see things are being following you. Not the flies, but there's been set up. There's been settings in variety of the streets and urban areas. In rural, you can't, because again, rural area, it's reason why it's a rural, and hard. You can't apply, so you must do these things. Very short period of time, brief of time, you drive or pass by person being followed, under surveillance, personal interest, or you're doing the technology which requires a safe distance, and that's what we're teaching people, what technology to use, how, when, how to position yourself, how to camouflage yourself, how to keep up the communications, and of course, how to avoid confrontations.
Yes.
And only way to learn this is a true, proper, detailed work, meticulous work to understand environment, people, and position, and possible threats, of course. So there's no SWOT analysis, because this is something everyone loves to use.
Yeah.
But there's a preparation key, and this is like, you know, planning and execution. It's a very, very important elements of what we're teaching people. And that's what we're teaching right now here as well. How to apply.
Fantastic.
Because as again, you know, some of my clients, they're conducting the work, but they believe they're being followed. And when you ask them, well, what makes the impression? He said, like, look at the YouTube. I said, like, well, OK, okay, that was in your meeting. Somebody brought a mobile phone and recorded, right? So we need to teach them as well, not just how to prevent, not how to capture the person doing surveillance on them, because that's their job, you know, in different different settings, different countries have a different set of rules. And they, when they, when they know they're being recorded secretly, when they report to police, they can, you know, like a civil arrest, police take it very seriously, particularly here. And but as well, we always give this step forward, that's how to train them, how to utilize this information or whatever this event happened for the future gains. And that's account intelligence here. That's a strategic account intelligence.
Mario, one of the other courses that you teach is around forensic psychology and fraud, which, again, I just found fascinating. And I'm conscious of time and I've got so much to ask you, but what does – when you're teaching people about fraud – there's fraud profiling, i.e. the nature and frequency to which humans deceive each other. There's classifications of fraud. And the other wording that I liked when I was researching the course was the psychopathic fraudster. And so obviously that's the question I want to ask. What is a psychopathic fraudster?
I want to be clear at the beginning. There's a two parts of that course. One is a theory and practice about fraud itself, what is fraud it is and how to investigate the fraud, which I run me personally. Second part, that fancy stuff, psychological approach and the psychological process. I'm truly honored that I can say that I had a great person, Dr. Debbie Colaros. She was being hired by South African police, and that she was being educated there by the very, very, very few experts in the world, and she was doing the psychological profiling based on geolocation of the serious murderers and fraudsters and her knowledge is that one which people, of course, everyone loves to see my face, my bald face, but we must understand. We must understand Debbie has that set of skills which actually complement what we teaching our clients about fraud. Mm. So actually, there's a lot of these signs. There's a lot of small activities in human behavior which you and I will never notice, honestly. And, you believe I know everything? No, I don't, Tony. That's the reason why it's not embarrassing to ask for help in business, and particularly to learn something new.
Correct.
So what Debbie does is not that, you know, Debbie, how to spot somebody's lying, you know, she doesn't work that way, right? So it's a different approach. So the fraudster, when we believe we have the fraudster, when the fraud is investigating, we're doing psychoanalysis, again, not me, Dr. Debbie Colaros.
Debbie.
Mm-hmm. Based on the surveillance tapes, based on that's where the surveillance fits as well. So it's not just following somebody just for the sake of following. It's like, oh my God, this person done this and that, you know what I mean? Like, and claim it's been approved. I'm taking a more scientific approach, and I'm very proud to say to my clients, this is where you get things when you've been trained by us. You learn the theory, you learn the practice on the field, how to investigate. Mm. However, there's other elements in the fraud investigations which I personally don't deliver what Dr. Debbie Collins does. And that's a scientific approach as a professional psychologist, as a professional psychological profiler who sees the video, sees the person, or innocently interviewing this person, and then she knows what these clues, these micro clues to look for in behavior, and then she can say, this is what you look for, not just like, you know, how to look, somebody lies to me. And that's a perception of psychology. You know, when people say body language, you know, oh, I hate you. That doesn't work. You know, people see different ways and everything else. So that's the part where Dr. Debbie Colaros runs this alongside with me.
Yeah.
And that's a fancy stuff. It's very interesting stuff. And
absolutely.
People don't see the science Yeah, like don't see the science as a great asset, rather than try to fulfill their childish dreams and talk about lies and everything else. But that's the way how the debit does this that part, and we're very successful this particularly because of the her experience in South African police and across the globe, plus the new technologies and the modus operandi of investigative fraud from my end. Absolutely, it's a successful company.
Mario, when we're talking about fraud, and I don't want you to give away company secrets, but when you're talking about fraud and human behavior, I'm wondering if there's elements of human behavior that are similar but unique, because human beings are unique, aren't they? So when you observe a little bit of behavior that would cause you to think that this person is doing something fraudulent, that little bit of behavior, that's the key similarity, but the way that that behavior plays out in individual human beings may be different.
We, when it comes to the fraud is firstly it's something we don't know happened till don't happen. The fraud it's a very sophisticated way of manipulating environment, your employees, your employer, your peers, your friends, and this goes on. And always come back to that thing, we all have the desire for the something. The forces usually have the money as a monetary reward and financial reward. And I said this when I was working that particular client. I always give the pride to myself in that case. The person was an employee of the year, not the month of the year. And when I asked, long story short, when I asked my client, I said, like, I'd like to be scheduled for that person to leave the board for these couple of days. That person has no sick leave, has no holidays, nothing. I said, like, well, at least we need to, you can't do it during the weekend because weekend is not transactions. We need to see the transactions happening. And again, then I have as well, the different person who teach these things is forensic accounting, of course. And when the person he was eventually being literally forced out to take a holiday, he was calling every day to see what's happening. It's like, who does this? You know what I mean? And I was quite suspicious that this person is that person has a very fraudulent activities against that client of mine. And you can't prove nothing. The only you can prove the fraud, it's capturing and comparing what's happening past with the current, right? It's in that particular case I'm talking. Anyway, person left, and on the third day, we realized that the money coming in, it's much more higher than was that person reported for the years. That was the first clue. The second thing, it was a person has been put under surveillance, and then, of course, the debit, she analyzed the behavior and the interviewing and everything else. And the person for 3 years was actually siphoning money. Because it has a control. Because don't forget, Foster has an idea, has imagination, not how to execute, has the knowledge, has the experience, and yet must have a control after the event because it doesn't want to be discovered. And that's the downfall. They have no exit strategy. And when I realized that this is the person I should look for, everybody told me, but this guy is employee of the year after year after year. It's like, well, that's wrong. It's like, nobody's that good. Nobody's that good. And I have that sort of interpersonal disagreement with the CEO, and eventually he agreed. And I said, like, look, that's what's happened. Anyway, the downfall was like a couple million dollars per month. They were successfully recovering about 70% of the money. Everything else has been gone on gambling. So every fraudster has a signature, every fraudster has a need, and every fraudster wants to be in control, not just prior event, but after event as well. And as I said, like, that's the downfall. Because in downfall, that's what it is when they're protecting, they had to try to hide their tracks and everything else. And that's what we call in preliminary investigation. And we're teaching these corporations to act on an investigation, on an information we received. No, don't ignore every information, but there's an aspect how you can investigate this information in a short period of time without involving so much assets or the money or the man hours, you know, whatever necessary to complete normal investigation, preliminary investigation. You get small piece of information and you act on this. And if it's truthful, you know, pursue. If it's not, put into that draw called modus operandi system and you can use it. So yeah, that client was recovering like a lot of money, but for the years has been suffered a lot of money as well.
Yeah. Was amazing. Mario, in the case of fraud at that level, is there usually a reason? Is there usually a reason like gambling or vindictiveness, or there's always got to be a reason, hasn't there? It's never just because it was accessible, is it?
Okay, it's always come to the motive. Motive, it's always, it's different for a person. Everybody has a reason for something else. Sometimes we have you can see the fires in some companies, and every time I see the fire, I always suspicious and say like, yeah, well, that doesn't make any sense, you know. But usually the fires are the best fire, and the flood, unfortunately, I must say flood, and I know you're going to flood, but you know how the flood works, you know what I mean? This is the best ways to cover your tracks, right? In fire and flood. So every time I see some fire, it's like, well, that doesn't make sense, you know. It's just been burned. The office where the money is or documents it is. So motive vary from person to person, but it's always this financial gain, right? And then you have generally speaking, and then you have other aspect of the fraud. Sometimes the fraud has been committed actually to damage the clients, particularly in economic, industrial espionage.
Yes.
But, when you hire a person, and always come back to the point, all problems come to the door. And if the company has no due diligence, background checks, processes on the place, they're going to attract some people who want to do this. Now, back to the industrial espionage, the competitor is going to hire the person who's already inside the company to do deliberate damages on the things. And now that's what I say to you, Tony.
Yes.
Deception is very important in defending your interests.
Yes.
So deception is not illegal. You're just using your methods to not disclose to your competitor true aim of your key objective, what it is, right? Mm. So the people inside the company, they believe and know, so they've been hired by competitors and they doing the damages to slow down the processes of reaching new product market and everything else. So like, yes, it's a variety. That's what we're teaching. That's what we're teaching through tactical operational strategic intelligence, those elements and the forces, how the forces act. And as we head into more recession or more inflation, more fraud's going to happen.
I was going to say it's more likely, isn't it? So if there's ever a time for anyone listening, particularly businesses, just get in touch with Mario and the team at Insight Intelligence. And then secondly, Mario's Insight Intelligence Institute has amazing courses covering all things intelligence. And they're wonderful courses, world-renowned courses, and Mario and his team run them globally. So I encourage you to jump onto insightintelligence.com, the home of where you can find out about these amazing courses, and you can connect with Mario. If you're a business and you've got a horrible feeling that something's just not right, that the business was doing well and now it's doing bad and you can't work out where the money's going, call Mario and the team because they are the ones that will help you find out the information, and then we'll walk you through the process to get legal rectification of those issues. Mario, it's been a wonderful show again. I can't believe it's gone so fast. I've just looked at my questions and thought, oh, I didn't ask that, I didn't ask that, but
That's
that's
okay,
okay.
Tony.
We
That's okay, Tony. Thank you.
the purpose was, of course, to talk about the wonderful courses that you've developed and run with your team, how important they are
Yes.
to everyday citizens and businesses, and anyone who's interested in getting this training, connect with Mario and the team. A quick shout out to about your books. Blood Soaked Soil is a fantastic listen and an equally fantastic read. I encourage you to jump on and buy a copy of Mario's book, Blood Soaked Soil. It's fantastic. Mario, safe travels home.
Thank you, Tony.
Enjoy training in Dubai, and we will see you back in Australia soon for our last show in the Insight Intelligence series. Please thank Mario Beckers from Insight Intelligence for joining us today from Dubai and sharing his wonderful wisdom and knowledge with us again. Thank you so much, Mario.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, team, and thank you to all listeners and viewers. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. That's your lot for this week. We will be back next week with Mario. Woohoo! Bye for now.
Bye.